one of the distinct pleasures of getting to perform in New York at the New Victory Theater is to be part of the New Victory's programming, because it is children's theater, but not in the way you probably think it's children's theater. It's theater that's appropriate for all ages. And I take a personal thrill in this, because children's theater that's good theater, that's appropriate for all ages, that's not crappy children's theater, is where I cut my professional teeth. And the New Victory Theater does fantastic theater from all over the world. And now I get to talk to Mary Rose Lloyd, the director of programming here at the New Victory. So first of all, thank you for talking to us, and thank you for having us back.
Well, you're welcome, Austin. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 257, New Victory Programming. Did I get that right? Did I say that right about what you do, what your programming is?
I think that's interesting that you, you know, I always stop for a second when people say children's programming, because the board of directors for the New 42nd Street, which the New Victory is one of seven theaters under the purview of the New 42nd Street, is led by our board president Cora Khan. When they were traveling the world and looking at how people present or produce work for young audiences and children, one of the things that kept coming up in conversations were, if you want this work to extend beyond a 12-year-old, then be careful how you tie what you name your theater, because if you call it children's theater,
right,
and you really want it to be for a young or family audience, those children who came from ages 5 to 11 or 12 when they're teenagers will not step foot in your children's theater.
Once they're teenagers, exactly.
Exactly. So that gives you a hint of how we came about, because the organization originally was set up to oversee the renovation and the reoccupation of seven historic theaters on 42nd Street in New York, right?
In New York, which we talked about briefly when we were here in March of 2010, which 42nd Street itself, and this theater in particular, has transformed from a den of iniquity to now New Victory being the flagship on this block, and it's full of family programming.
Well, thank you for saying that. It was bleak. I remember I lived here in the early 90s, and worked a little bit further west on 42nd Street and had to walk this block to get to work, and it was pretty scary.
Yeah.
And now, 15, 16 years later, the block has been transformed, and the New 42nd Street has led that urban renewal, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing about the New Victory is that for a theater, especially one of these historic theaters on 42nd Street, it's 499 seats,
yeah,
and the stage is approximately 30 feet by 30 feet. So it's
tiny, in other words. Yes.
Right. It's an intimate house.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a great big musical theater hall.
Right.
So very wisely, early on, when the organization had formed and they were thinking about uses of the theaters or how the block would eventually be transformed, wanting to be an example to the block or to potential people who would come to the block, the board decided that we would actually operate the New Victory Theater ourselves. It wasn't initially necessarily the mandate for us to actually operate and program any of the spaces.
Right.
But two of the seven by mandate needed to be not-for-profit theaters. That's how that project came together.
Okay.
So that there were revenues from the commercial entities on the block that would help subsidize,
right,
the nonprofit theaters.
Right.
And it's a wonderful model, actually, and it is a model, because there's nothing quite like it in that we found in the rest of the country, where a family of four can come to this beautiful, beautifully restored theater for a about or less than the price of one ticket to a Broadway show.
Yeah, your top ticket price is like $38 or something like that.
Correct, and we have a membership program. We've had loyal members that continue to come back over the years, and there are discounts for those folks so that really the average ticket price ends up being around $17-$18.
Yeah,
which makes it accessible for everyone, and so economically that's one thing, but artistically and aesthetically we set out from the get-go to bring the most incredible works of performing arts, whether it be comedy or theater, uh-huh, or puppetry or circus arts or dance or music, yeah, whatever it may be.
And or sometimes all of the above, I suspect.
And it is all of the above.
Yeah.
To New York to create seasons of this work for audiences of all different age ranges.
Yeah.
And the real estate is hard to come by in New York. So we knew from the beginning we don't have enough room to be a producing house. We don't have a shop. We don't build theater here.
Right.
But what we can do is be almost a gatekeeper, if you will, for performing arts companies from around the world to come to New York and to perform for not just our public audiences, but we have a burgeoning school program.
Mm-hmm.
We probably over 35,000 kids a year coming through our doors to and for many of them it's their very first theatrical experience.
Yeah.
And so it better be a good one or they'll never come back.
Well, exactly right. And we feel that too wherever we perform, because often like kids will come to see what we do, and like if it's the Shakespeare show, it's the first Shakespeare they've ever seen, and then it's like, oh well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, the next one probably won't be like that.
Well I was just going to say on to that end that's what makes the Reduced Shakespeare Company so perfect for what we do, because we're not creating or bringing in work that is on just one level.
Yeah.
The hope and the aspiration is that the parents and the teachers of the ticket buyers who, mm-hmm, are coming are going to enjoy a show just as much as the children are, and that the work will reach different ages in different levels. And that's what I enjoy about your work, not just with the Shakespeare but with the sports piece too, is that the jokes land in different places,
yeah,
and in different ways, but never is anyone talked down to,
yeah,
or assumed lesser than. You know, it's very smart, and the kids appreciate that because they are smart, and that's why they're responding so well to it.
And that's, you know, when you talk about kind of the children's theater that everybody thinks of as being crappy, it's that level of condescension where children are talked to as if, and now we're going to tell you a story just like you're retarded, you know? And that's not, they're not. Even the quote-unquote challenged kids aren't retarded in the way that they're being treated.
That's the first thing that will turn them off completely,
yes,
is that condescension. And kids are, you know, that don't lie to them. Don't tell them, you know, it's a happy day and everything's going to be just fine.
Right.
You know, shit happens in the,
yeah,
world.
Yeah.
And I think, and kids know that. They live, they,
mm-hmm,
understand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that we are endeavoring to expose children at a really early age to the horrors and the suffering of the world.
Right.
But we're also not going to shy away from topics that are important and relevant in their lives, and would maybe make the adult that's with the child more uncomfortable than,
right,
it actually makes the child.
Right.
So, you know, we're very sensitive to that. We especially, certainly in our schools program, our,
sure,
education program, we do workshops in the classrooms both,
yeah,
before and after the children come to the shows.
Yeah.
And we help the teachers with language so that we can translate these works of art to the teachers so that they can then translate it to the kids in a way that will help them be more receptive to it and give them some context as to why we're doing the shows that we're doing in any particular season.
And it can be, I mean, there's no reason why something can't be entertaining and challenging at the same time.
Exactly.
You know, if they have to go look up a reference or something, that's
right.
Okay too.
Absolutely.
This is Ken Marks. I play Uncle Ben in Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Your last chance to RSC the Reduced Shakespeare Company in 2011 will be at Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts, where we will premiere our latest stage show, The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged, on November 25th, the day after Thanksgiving, and play until December 18th, the week before Christmas. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Mary Rose Lloyd, the director of programming at the New Victory Theater in New York City. Well, that's all very good and ennobling and businesslike and blah, blah, blah. But tell me about the shows. You must have the coolest gig in the world. You get to travel the world finding the most interesting kind of work that's appropriate and bring it to your theater. What do you look for? What's your first set of criteria?
Well, people say that all the time. I must have the most exciting, glamorous job in the world. Mm-hmm. And I am on planes all the time. It is brutal. I kiss a lot of frogs. Let me just put it that way.
to you is a fairy tale reference.
Yes. May I just.
An age appropriate.
May I just. Well, no, I mean, I think when I first came to work at the New Victory Theater, I came from an adult theater world, mm-hmm. and didn't know from children's theater, and my perception of it was fuzzy bunny suits and pedantic, maybe educational. It didn't occur to me before I came into this world,
right.
that art for art's sake was happening, that art was being created for a young audience, that governments around the world, it's getting lesser and lesser so, especially in these times.
Yeah.
But for a long time, there was a lot of arts funding, not necessarily here, but in other countries.
Right.
And there were concentrated efforts of consulates and embassies to bring presenters from different markets to their particular countries to see this art that was right. Performing arts that were happening right. in these countries, and they had wherewithal to export it out.
Yeah.
So, you know, early on when I started getting my feet wet, I was going on trips to the Netherlands under the auspices of the Dutch government, for example, Australia, France, where enlightened arts funders and yeah. government agencies understood the value of art in a society and,
right.
and in a civilization
right.
and wanted to support their artists, not just locally, but to use them as ambassadors for their respective countries.
Right.
And so there was this huge touring program happening in the world with various countries, and also the level of the work that was being created, because I might add that there was so much support for
right.
the work, there were risks that were able to be made that maybe if you couldn't take if you were just having to sell a ticket based
yeah.
on a title and make your life easier.
Right.
There was experimentation going on. There's abstract theater for young audiences.
Right.
There's all kinds of work that I just absorbed and fell in love with, and
yeah.
you know was able to see what could be done. And for many years, bringing this work in has been fantastic. And now the local artists here in New York City there are many amazing ones. Of course, we're
right.
in New York and making great work for adults and for kids. But there are a group that are coming to see the shows at the New Victory, and there's a big, you know, a change afoot, I would
mm-hmm.
say, that you know the creation of work for young audiences in this country is expanding, and I think the potential is quite amazing. Where you know, it not necessarily has leveled off in other countries, but they have been investing in and doing this work for so long that there are now many places that are looking for the next place to go.
Cool.
Where our eyes are opened.
So the U.S. we're beginning to step up a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. And we're also a very big country, and a lot of we build big theaters
yeah.
that don't necessarily tour work. We
yeah.
build not. Not just for kids, for you know the Lort theaters,
yeah.
Big theaters for the communities. This you know happened in the 60s, and here they are, and they're great, and they're all over the place. But there are companies that tour, absolutely, but there's not a huge I guess, not even impetus, but maybe even a necessity seen by some of these producing companies to tour their work, even within our own country. But when I go to festivals around the world, I very rarely see work from the United States there. So but that's starting to change.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, we are a touring company. So I can see that for some companies, you go, oh, my God, it's hard enough just getting the show up. Getting the show up and then putting it out on the road, right. That's a whole nother hurdle.
Putting it on the road and keeping it in their repertory so that if you're booking a season, a year and a half out, yeah. And you see a show, yeah. They hold on to it, yeah. In time to bring it back in two right. years later. Most theaters will put up a show, run it for 6 weeks, and it's gone, on to the next.
Well, I remember I first became aware of you guys, the New Victory, I think, when I heard that the Umbilical Brothers were performing here, and I thought that was perfect, because they were just one of the acts that I discovered at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival when we were performing there. Mm-hmm. We've met them. They're great guys. They do a great theater show. That's very funny. Every now and then they use an inappropriate word.
Or gesture.
But it's absolutely, we would bring our kids, and our kids were, you know, 3 and 5, 3 and 6 back then. Yeah. And I thought, oh my goodness, if that's the kind of work that New Victory's bringing in, that's pretty cool.
Umbilical Brothers have been here twice before. Yeah. I think what we're known for, or have become known for, is our eclectic palette. Yeah. Every season is different, but one thing, there is a thread through it, and the works are smart, they're surprising, they're often winking at the audience. There's right. always humor somewhere in there. I guess that's just a personal thing, but you know.
Good, we like that.
Yeah.
Well, and then within the humor, every now and then there's some seriousness, and you go, ooh.
There's pathos.
Yeah. One gets surprised.
Yeah.
Well, and the interesting thing, your focus is on, Focus on the Family.
Yeah.
If you called yourself Focus on the Family, you could, raise a lot of conservative Republican
Chick-fil-A
dollars.
They might support us.
What's interesting about family theater is that children's theater, family theater, is at its heart childlike. And yet, going to the theater, attending the theater, is a grown-up experience. Mm-hmm. And that's a part of the 2 weeks ago we talked about finding the line,
yeah.
about, and that is another line that we walk when we're performing here at the New Victory, and I suspect when you're programming.
Yeah.
You know, you're gonna do shows that are going to provoke a response from certain members of your audience. And how do you deal with that?
Well, I would hope so. I mean, I think that theater is meant to provoke. It's meant to be thoughtful, and you know, you might see a piece and 3 days later go, oh, I get that, you know.
Yeah.
That's what you hope for. There's a lot of competition these days, yeah. especially in a child's world, for their attention, for their interest.
Right.
And you know, if there's nothing new to be learned, if there's nothing to discover or to think about, or you know, to see three adults on stage making fun of sports and having a go and having these jokes that are landing on many levels, I think for it, the first few minutes, you know, the kids are like, oh wait, we get to be in on the joke too. This is okay for us too. That's really important, and it's empowering
yeah.
as well. Yeah,
that's the greatest thing about doing the sports show here is that we don't, as opposed to the Shakespeare show when we were here 2 years ago, we don't have to spend the first 20 minutes of the show winning the kids over.
Right.
They already know what they're seeing.
That's right.
They already know what we're talking about.
They do. They do. They know the subject matter. They are, I think. Again, smarter than anyone wants to give them credit for,
yeah.
and they're game, and they're happy to be talked to like intelligent beings and not protected from any kind of subject matter that you think that they're not ready to hear.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your theater for all ages via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Ripley Mississippi, button-pushing theater artist Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Margaret Bickley. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Ken Marks from Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, playing at the Foxwoods Theater on 42nd Street, literally right next door to the New Victory Theater. And thanks to Mary Rose Lloyd and all the great folks at the New Victory for treating us so well and giving us such a fantastic three-week run. Also, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 257 771st of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Mary, thank you. Go to your next thing.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.